You here this evening?
Amen. I don't know if you knew it. It was raining outside. Anyone pick up on that? I tell you what, I won't let it bother me if you don't let it bother you. How about that? Amen. Did you come hungry for the word this evening? Well, I believe you did. Open up your Bibles with me to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 51. And on the screens, if you can pull up Galatians chapter 3. Verses 13 through 14, Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14 on the screens. We're opening our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 51. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, our ushers, they'll be in the aisles now. You can lift up your hand and they'll be more than glad to give you a Bible. As always, feel free to use an iPad or iPhone or BlackBerry or whatever it is you use, but just get over to Isaiah chapter 51. Like we said at the beginning of last Wednesday, we're covering some scriptures here that I absolutely, honestly, I mean honestly, believe it has the power to transform your life. I mean, I'm not just saying that to be saying that. I honestly believe that if you can grab a hold of this, and really see it, you know, like we were praying. It's one thing to hear or to read something out of the Bible or to hear someone say something out of the Bible, but it's a whole nother thing to see it. Knowledge can know something, but wisdom sees it. Does that make sense? Any parent can have knowledge on what's going on with their kids. They can know what the problems may be, but wisdom sees the problem, and there's a big difference. Wisdom can see it, and when you see it, you know how to fix it. You know how to deal with it. Anyone can have knowledge on what's going on in an economy. Anyone can see whether it's going good or bad. You can look at the metrics and determine according to home prices or unemployment rates. Anyone can have knowledge concerning that, but it's a whole nother thing to have wisdom about it. To see what's going on, to see how to fix it, to see how to turn it around. And friend, God is the giver of wisdom. If you lack it, the Bible says, ask for it. And so concerning these things, we're going to read some scriptures that you know because you've heard me say them and read them before. But once again, it's a whole nother thing to see it. And that's what we want from these scriptures. We want you to see what God is saying, because once you understand it and you see it, it can absolutely transform your life. Our golden text is in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Well, you know what? Before we read that, let's read Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1. He says, "Hearken unto me, pay attention to me, ye that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord." Well, how many of you know that's us? We're following after righteousness, right? How many of you are seeking the Lord? Well, I'm glad five of you are. How many of you are seeking the Lord? Amen. It's a good. You're in church. It's safe in here to say you're seeking the Lord. All right, all right. Follow after me. Look. Now watch what he says here. Look unto the rock whence you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit which you were digged. What's he saying here? He's saying, if you're seeking the Lord, if you're following after righteousness, you need to go back and look at what you came out of. You need to go back and trace your spiritual heritage and find out where you came out of, the legacy that is behind you. You need to go back and you need to look at that. Well, where are we supposed to look? Verse 2, look unto who? Unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bore you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Notice what he's saying. He's saying, if you're following after the Lord, if you're seeking after the Lord, you need to do something. Well, what is it I need to do? You need to go back and you need to look at where you came out of. You need to look at your spiritual heritage. All right, well, obviously that's pretty deep, especially for us today. Our spiritual heritage can go back to John. It could go back to Peter. It could go back to Paul. Definitely could go back to Jesus. It could go back to David. But here he tells us where to look in our spiritual heritage. He says, you need to do something. You need to look unto Abram. You need to look unto your father Abram. Look unto your mother Sarah. All right, Lord, well, what are we to look at when we look at them? He says, look at how I blessed him. And look at how I increased him. Now notice those two things are different. Once again, just because you have money doesn't make you blessed. To be blessed doesn't mean to have things. The blessing of the Lord is an empowerment to get the things that you need. When you're blessed, you're empowered to prosper, empowered to move forward in life. And he says the example that I want you to look at is Abram. Now, once again, we said, well, what will this blessing do? Well, not only will it increase us, but it'll do what it says here in verse 3. For the Lord will comfort Zion, the church. He will comfort all her waste places. And he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein and the voice of melody. Notice in your life, there ought not be any waste places. There ought not be nothing in your life that's fallen apart. No natural thing, no relationship, no spiritual thing, and not your body. Nothing ought to be falling apart. If it is falling apart, he says, I'll take it and I'll make it like the Garden of Eden. I'll make it perfect. I'll make it where it's good. I'll make it to where you can look at everything in your life and see the hand of God on it and call it good. Well, how can that happen? The only way it can happen is with the blessing. And he says, I want you to look at where you came out of. Look at your spiritual heritage. Look unto Abraham. Now, once again, we see this in light of Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 as well. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Verse 14. That the blessing of who? Of Abram. Now, the blessing was on a lot of different people. When you go back and do your spiritual heritage, you can see that the blessing was on Adam. The blessing was on Noah. The blessing was on Noah's sons, Shem and Japheth. The blessing was on their descendants. Then the blessing was on Abram. Then it was on Isaac. Then it was on Jacob. Then it was on his son Joseph. And then on to the children of Israel. Then after that on David. But he says specifically that Christ has put on you the blessing of Abraham, so that it might come on the Gentiles, that's the world, that's us, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I want you to get this, friend. When you accepted Jesus Christ, it was more than just eternal security. It's more than just a free ride to heaven. When you accepted Jesus Christ, two other things happened to you. Lots of other stuff did, but here we see two things specifically that happened to you. The first thing that happened to you is you got redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen. And once you understand what that curse is, you can get excited about the fact that you've been bought back from it. When you accepted Jesus, you got redeemed from the curse of the law, and you got blessed with the blessing of Abraham. So here in Galatians chapter 3, it says that the blessing of Abraham is on you if you have accepted Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 51, it tells you if you're seeking after righteousness, if you're following after the Lord, you need to go back and look at your father Abraham. Well, what am I looking for? How God blessed him. Well, why am I supposed to look at how God blessed Abram? Because the same blessing that was on Abram, God intends for it to be on you. I want you to understand that, friend. When you want to see what your life should look like, go back and look at Abraham's life, because what you see in his life is what God wants to see in your life, because that's the blessing you're blessed with. It's amazing to me how people have made this so complicated. No, friend, you're redeemed from the curse of the law, and you are blessed with the blessing of Abraham. Now, before I move any further, I want you to understand this. Nowhere does it say you're to try to get this blessing. The blessing is on you if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are blessed with the blessing of Abraham, and you are redeemed from the curse of the law. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You are blessed with that blessing. Here's the thing that I want to emphasize to you this evening. Choose it. Choose the blessing. It's on you, but you've got to understand there's a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you're not eating the fruit of the blessing, it's because someone, the enemy, is stealing it from you. And the reason why he's stealing it from us is because we're ignorant of the fact that we're blessed with it. Well, what does the enemy do to steal? Well, go over to Mark chapter 4. I'm preaching the end of my message instead of the front of it, but that's okay. Go over to Mark chapter 4. The thief comes not but to do what? To steal, kill, and what? Destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you may have what? And have it what? To the full until it overflows according to the Amplified. Now there are four words that are eternally linked throughout Scripture. You know this if you know your Bible. These four words are life and blessing and death and cursing. Those two words are forever linked. We're going to see them later, probably, maybe even in this message. I've set before you life and what? Death, blessing, and what? Cursing. Those two, see, you already know this. Those two words, life and blessing, are always linked. To have the blessing is to have life. What does that mean? It means your life is excelling. It's moving forward. To be cursed, it always leads to the same place. Death. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Now listen to me. Once again, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are not trying to get the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham is on you. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you are not trying to get redeemed from the curse. You already were when you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior. Well, once again, where's the fruit of it then? If you're not eating it, it's because someone stole it from you. The enemy is trying to steal exactly what he stole from Adam and Eve, the blessing. He's trying to bring the curse back into your life any way he can. And the way he steals the blessing from you, steals anything. A part of the blessing is health. A part of being redeemed from the curse of the law, according to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we've read that in past messages, is every sickness and disease in the world, even if it wasn't mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 28, any sickness and any disease is a part of the curse of the law. Well, according to Galatians, you've been redeemed from that curse. Well, why is there sickness and disease still in the body of Christ? It's not because Christ hasn't redeemed people. We're not trying to get redeemed. We were redeemed when Jesus died on the cross and we accepted him as our Lord and Savior. Well, where's the fruit of it? The enemy has stolen it. How does he steal? Jesus said, according to Mark chapter 4, if you don't understand this parable, then no other teaching from Jesus is going to matter at all. What's the parable? Look here, Mark chapter 4. I'm in Mark chapter 5, so let me go over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. The sower sows the what? The word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes when? When does he come? Immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown from their hearts. Jesus said what? I have come that you may have what? Life, and have it more what? Abundantly. The thief comes not but to do what? Steal, to what? Kill, and destroy. So anything that is stealing, killing, or destroying is not from God. It's from who? It's from the enemy. Now notice what the devil steals. If he steals, this is the thing he steals, friend. If he steals this, he can kill you. If he steals this, he can destroy your business, destroy your family, destroy your kids, destroy anything else. When people think, the thief comes to steal, they think he's trying to steal something physical, to steal health or to anything that's bad that happens, the enemy stole it. And that's true, but the main thing he steals is the word. As soon as you hear the word, according to Mark chapter 4, the enemy comes when? Immediately. As soon as you hear this message, as soon as you hear me preach anything out of the word, what is also happening? Immediately the enemy comes and tries to take it from you. I see it happen all of the time. I see people who need exactly what I'm saying, but they're all staring into space. Not here. Everyone's paying attention here. But I'm serious. People don't value the word because that's the thing the enemy is trying to steal. The reason why church was made boring was because the enemy didn't want people to hear the word. As soon as you hear the word, he comes for it. Why? Because when you know the truth does what? It sets you free. And whom Jesus has set free is what? Free indeed. So notice here, what he does in verse 15. Well, let's read it again in verse 14. The sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they've heard it, like you're hearing it now, like you read it when you read the Bible in the morning, like you hear it when your favorite preacher on television, on radio is saying it to you, immediately Satan comes to take the word that was sown out of their hearts. And if he can't take it immediately, he moves on to a second strategy. Verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. When they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. What does that mean? The first group of people never received the word at all, really. As soon as they heard it, Satan came and got them distracted, got them to pay counting the light fixtures, thinking about lunch, they didn't even make it to step number two. I mean, they didn't receive it with gladness. They didn't even know what the preacher said. They're focused on the hairdo in front of them or the lady who was singing really loud during praise and worship. They were completely missing the whole thing that God was trying to do. The sower is trying to do what? Sow the word. What is God trying to do with you in your life? He's trying to get the word in you. Why? Because the word is the thing that renews your mind. God is trying to get the word in you. The enemy is trying to steal it from you. The first group of people, he'll try to get them distracted where the word never gets in them at all. The second group of people, they hear the word. They were paying attention during service. They heard the word. And not only did they hear the word, they got excited about it. I mean, during the service, that word was speaking to them, man. I'm excited about it. But then watch what happens to them. Verse 17, but they have no root in themselves. And so they endure for a time, but afterwards when affliction, that means things causing you pain, or persecution, that's people causing you pain. Affliction is when things are causing you pain in life. Persecution is when people are causing you pain. Watch this. It arises for the what? I want you to understand this. Anytime there's a problem in your life, why is it there? What's it after? It's after the word. What is the enemy after? What is the enemy looking to steal from you? It's not your house. It's not your car. He's after the word. Why? Because if he can get that, he can have your relationships. If he can get that, he can take your health. If he can get the word from you, he can take your peace. He can take your joy. The thing that the enemy steals is the word of God. And if he can't get you distracted from the get-go, if you receive that word with gladness, guess what he'll do? He'll try to pop up problems. A problem with a person, a problem with a thing, a problem with the body, a problem with something. Why? To get you to stop paying attention to the word. Now watch what happens next. Verse 17, they have no root in themselves and so endure but for a time, But afterwards, when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes what? Unfruitful. What does that mean? It means you never eat of it. It means there are things that you can hear and you can see in the word, but you never taste it. That you can see the promise of healing clearly in God's word, but it bore no fruit in your life. You can see it. It's right there. You can see it, but you never taste of it. Well, what does this mean? The cares of this world and all those things. It means if the problem couldn't get it, then what it'll do is it'll get you distracted. Well, distracted on what? The lust of other things. The deceitfulness of riches, chasing after money. Friends, this is what the blessing does for you. You don't have to live for money anymore. It makes you rich. It's not you trying to make you rich. The blessing of the Lord prospers you. The blessing of the Lord moves you forward. The reason why you work your job is because that's where God wants you working. You're fulfilling an assignment, not trying to cut a paycheck or cash one. But people get so consumed on the things in this world that guess what they do? They forget the word. And once again, it becomes unfruitful. They never see any production of the word in their life at all. Have you ever wondered how can people come to church and leave? I mean, be coming to church for 20 years, and when they leave, sometimes they're the meanest. That's why we get the term hypocrites, is because the message that is preached, people don't see it lived out there. Well, how can that be? They heard the word. This tells us how. They may have heard it, but they never received it. And if they did receive it, they didn't hold on to it. It's not bearing any fruit in their life. But watch this. There are a couple of other people. And in verse 20, and these are they which are sown on what? Good ground, such as hear the word and what? Receive it. That word receive it means holds on to it. In fact, Jesus goes on to say in Mark chapter 4, according to one passage of Scripture, and I believe it's in the Amplified, that the measure of thought and study you put in the word is the measure that the word is measured back unto you. And there are some people who not only hear the word, they receive it, they hold on to it. They don't get distracted from the cares of the world. They don't let problems get them distracted. They don't get distracted when they're hearing the word. They hold on to it. And watch what the word will do for them. Such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth what? Fruit. You're tasting of it. You're not just seeing the word. You're not just hearing the word. You're tasting of the word. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Here, he says there are four kinds of people. And in fact, let me get some volunteers. Dean, come on up here. Burnett, come on up here. Susan and Earl, come on up here real quick. Earl's riding, so he may be a second. All right, we got four people here. You know, it's raining, so we're going to use every bit of creativity we have to get people to hear the word and receive it. All right, he said you got four types of people, four people who hear the word. The first one, Brother Dean, when he was hearing the word, he got distracted. I mean, something, yeah. You know, the rain just, he could hear it banging on the tin roof. And you know what? It was, while the preacher was preaching, he was so thinking about the rain because it was falling. You know, it was raining when it came in here and it's Wednesday night. And he didn't eat before he came. And normally he eats chili from Wendy's. But he didn't eat before he came because something came up and he's busy. So he's thinking about how hungry it is. So the word, he heard it. But no fruit was born. The second person, Miss Burnett, she heard the word. She received it with gladness. Man, Pastor Joel was preaching so good. Received it with gladness. But then when she went home, something came up. She got a phone call that she wasn't expecting to get. And I mean, that person was just acting all kinds of crazy and saying all types of things that just, oh, she couldn't believe she was saying it. And she completely forgot about everything that was preached that night. I know that's never happened to you. Then the third person, Mr. Earl here, he heard the word. He was excited about it. He went home and everything was fine. But then the next day, he didn't even think about that word at all because he was thinking about the appointment that he had. And he was thinking about where he had to go, and he was thinking about little Chase, and he was thinking about all these things that he had to do that weekend, and he never saw the word produced for him at all. Then the fourth type of person, Susan, she heard the word and she received it. But even with her, one out of four, these were Jesus's odds for success in ministry. Even one out of four, there were some subjects she only produced 30-fold in. Then there were other subjects she produced 60-fold in. And then there were other subjects she produced 100-fold in. Have you ever met believers who were strong in one area but weren't strong in another? Well, why? Mark chapter 4 is the answer. All right, you guys can be seated. Let's give him a hand. Give him a hand. All right, here's the thing I want to get across to you. We have God's word, not the word of a man. You have the word of God that tells you you've been redeemed, friend. Redeemed from every curse. What's the curse? We read it. Things being violently taken away from you. Foreclosures. Let's go over there and look at it. Deuteronomy chapter 28. You have the word of God that you've been redeemed from the curse of the law and blessed with the blessing of Abraham. You have God's word on that, friend. This is not God's suggestion. This is God's word. God has given you his word that says you've been blessed with the blessing that was on Abraham. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Well, where's the fruit of it in the body of Christ? Notice what the blessing will do from you. This is what you should be seeing taking place in your life. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. And it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all of his commandments which I command on thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all of these blessings will come on you. They will overtake you if you will hearken unto the voice of the Lord. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed in the fruit of your body, blessed in the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, and the increase of your kind, and the flocks of your sheep. You'll be blessed in your basket, blessed in your store, blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against thee one way, flee before thee seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon thee in your storehouse and in all that you set your hand to. He will bless you in the land which the Lord thy God has given you. The Lord will establish you a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if you keep his commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Now all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. They will be afraid of thee. The Lord will make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give thee. The Lord will open unto you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you rain in your land in his season, to bless all the work of your hand. Go down to verse 13. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, above only and never beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do. Verse 15. But it will come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses will come on thee and overtake you. We won't take the time to read them. Basically, it's the opposite of the blessing. Instead of being empowered to live, life is fighting against you every which way. Fighting against your body, fighting against your family, fighting against your finances. The blessing is pushing you forward. The curse is pushing you back. And friend, your Bible, not me, your Bible says you are blessed with this blessing. Back then, it was all conditional according to their obedience. Here, it was conditional upon Christ's obedience. And when he got nailed to that cross and took on your sin, took on your transgression, he bore the curse on his body, for it is written, cursed is every man that hung from the tree. Well, where is the production of this? I'll tell you where it is. It's right there in front of us. It is right there in front of us. 2 weeks ago, I dared you get in this word every single day and confess this over your life. I want to ask you to raise your hand, but I wonder if my odds were any better than Jesus said they would about how many people actually did it. And not just did it for a day, but did it every day. And not just did it every once in a while, but stayed in it, meditated on it, and shouted about it. There's a reason why the word doesn't work. It's because it's a seed, friend. It's a seed. And if it gets planted in you, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words do what? Abide in you, then you will ask whatsoever you will and it shall be done unto you. I was listening to the radio the other day, Christian radio. And they were talking about prayer. And they were talking about how sometimes God answers your prayer. But a lot of times he answers it in a way that you don't understand. Friend, that's a bunch of malarkey. There is no scripture for that whatsoever. You know why people don't see their prayers answered the way that they want them to be answered? Because they're not praying any scriptures based off the word of God. They're not standing on the word. They're doing what James said not to do. They're asking for their desires that they may spend them on their own lust. They have no word to back it up, and that's why they're not getting answered the way God said they would be. If the word abides in you, oh my gosh, if you get the fact you've been redeemed from all these curses and blessed with all these blessings, and you actually got that in you, guess what's going to happen? Not overnight. But in time, the fruit of God's word is going to show up in your life. But we got to get it in us, friend. Go over to Galatians. I'll close with this. Galatians chapter 3. Literally, I have not given you any of my notes. Galatians chapter 3. But that's all right. Galatians chapter 3. And I want you to see something here that is phenomenal. This has always been one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Let's start in verse 13 again, and we'll read down. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What's the curse of the law? Everything you see in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Go home and read it. Find out what the curse is. And then come back to Galatians chapter 3. And say, guess what? I'm redeemed from that. I choose the blessing. It is mine. I take it. Now watch this. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Why? Christ was made a curse for you. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, go down here, and he keeps talking about this issue, but for the sake of time, let's read in verse 20. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which had given life, verily righteousness should have been made by the law. But the scripture concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should be afterwards revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither is there bond nor free, neither is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? In Christ, rewards are not handed out based upon anything natural. In Christ Jesus, He paid the penalty for sin. So no matter who you are, if you've accepted Jesus, you've been redeemed from the curse and blessed with the blessing. But watch what he says next, verse 29. And if you be Christ, then you are what? Abraham's seed, Abraham's offspring, and heirs according to the what? What promise? The promise God gave Abraham. What was the promise God gave Abraham? I'm going to slap bless you. I'm going to bless you until all the nations of the earth is blessed. I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. Once again, look at the spiritual heritage you came out of. But watch what he says here in chapter 4 and verse 1. Remember, the letters are anointed in the Bible, not the numbers. The numbers were given by man. He hasn't changed his thought. He keeps going. Let's read verse 29 again in verse 3, and then we'll go to chapter 4 and verse 1 in succession. 29. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. All right, did you get what he's saying here? Did you get this? You are heir of the promises of God. What does that mean? The promise that was on Abraham, the blessing that was on Abraham, it belongs to me. Just like a heir of my father, when my father died, he left things to me. He left things to my sister because I am an heir. I came out from under him. I am Ronnie Sims' seed. I came out of that. So with that, there was an inheritance that belonged to me. And here he says, as a Christian, if you've accepted Christ, you're a heir of the promise of Abraham. It is yours. Just like the inheritance that my father left up for me, it is mine. It was mine the day he died. And it was yours the day Jesus Christ died and you accepted him as your Lord and Savior after he rose again from the dead. But he says, as long as you're a child, as long as you're operating with a childish level of understanding, you will differ nothing from a servant, though you're Lord over everything. Now, I remember my father teaching out of Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 about how God has made us kings and priests and how God has called us to reign in this life. But the reason why we're not reigning is because we haven't grown up in understanding. And friends, I'm telling you, it is the truth. We're going to keep talking about this and we're going to look at the life of Abraham. We did it last week. But here, I wanted to go back, I guess, this week. God had another idea than I had. I was going to pick up where I left off last week. But I want you to see this. Everything that we see, everything that you read in this Bible, if you will take the time to get it in you and to not just push a tape and let your mind float, but to take the time and to see, this belongs to me. This belongs to me. It is my spiritual inheritance. I know when my father died, if he left things to me and my sister, he blessed us. Even in his passing, a blessing came down from him. I know if someone tried to come and take that from me, they're going to have a fight on their hands. I'm not that big, but I can give you a bad day, that's for sure. That's for sure. Friend, I'm telling you, why would I do that? Because I know it's mine. It's not an idea. It's not a theory. It's my inheritance. And when Christ died, my Bible reads that he became poor so that I might be made rich. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. You can quote me on it. Go back and look at it. My Bible tells me in Isaiah chapter 53 that by his stripes I am healed. But the problem with everyone who has ever had the blessing on them was that, and we'll look at it specifically next week with the children of Israel. The problem with every person who had the blessing on them, they kept living life like they didn't. I'm going to say that again. The problem with everyone in the Bible, almost everyone in the Bible who had the blessing on them, the reason why it didn't produce is because those people lived like they didn't have it. They didn't look to God. They didn't trust in the blessing. They didn't seek his face. They didn't ask for his help. They kept looking at all the things in the natural. And even though they had the promise, the Bible says they were strangers to it. They were not familiar with it at all. Friend, I want to encourage you, get in these scriptures. I wish I could just open up your mind and teach to you 24/7, but I can't do it. If you want to see this produce, if you want to see the blessing show up, if the curse has been in operation in your family, you need to go to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and stay there until that thing becomes a living, breathing reality to you, that you're redeemed from that junk. And renew your mind to it. And friend, once you do, that seed gets in you. It will start bringing forth fruit. And the goal is to get it 100-fold. Abraham was one of the few who did it. And that's why the Bible tells us to look to him. Abraham operated in the blessing at the 100% capacity he could operate in it. It's fascinating when you see his life. That's why we're to look to him, because he produced the blessing at 100-fold, just 100% of the blessing. But friends, if you just got 30% of it working for you, just 30%, it would be amazing the difference it made in your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me pray with you. Father, I thank you for all of these people. And we ask of you, Lord, once again, let this be a reality to us that we are redeemed from the curse of the law. We're not trying to get redeemed. We are redeemed. That we are blessed with the blessing of Abraham. And Father, we choose it. We acknowledge it. And Father, as the term that I've been giving you over the last couple of weeks, we put pressure on it. All the pressure we're facing on life, we put it over on the blessing of the Lord. And we thank you, that blessing's moving us forward. That blessing's pushing our life forward. And we're moving into a place where we don't lack for any good thing. Father, I thank you for these people, that you give them safe travel when they go home. And let them, Lord, see these words that we've gone over tonight, these scriptures that we've gone over tonight. Let them see them clearly. I thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you need prayer for anything at all tonight,